The Young and the Monstrous, a story of kids just trying to get out of high school and keep their monsters within. Finale, Part 2.
As you guys are talking, the fire alarm goes off.
That sounds important. Good thing the water isn't working in here, or we'd be covered in water.
Right? And
when I say we, I mean you.
Oh, is it? Is it time to go to the prom now?
Let's see, it's one room over. Promenade.
Yeah, I think Celine's going to try and check the dance to see if who's still there, at least.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Just looking for Shimone, right?
Yeah, Celine, I really want to meet your girlfriends. I don't know which one you're dating currently. So, you know, let's figure it out.
Oh, well, it's not that serious. It's just the one. Don't say that out loud.
Oh, okay. Covert. Got it.
Well, you guys walk from this, out of this bathroom, down like a down a hallway, and kind of just have to cross a little opening of the school in like kind of a courtyard. And there's the gym, and you hear a lot less kind of crazy noise. The fire alarm is going off throughout the school, and I'm gonna throw something out there. You guys do have to exit, like go outside of a building, and you can see, like, to your left is the gym, and to the right is kind of more the buildings where you had been, and whoever among you is, in your opinion, the most observant of this, possibly Everett because of his connection, but you can tell that the that's not the fake geography we've set up. As you
open,
you go
the
outside,
door, you're in the gymnasium.
You open the door, you walk the fucking dinosaur. You're actually going into this building, and when you go outside, you notice the building that is the gym and also the auditorium. It is on fire. Like, there's smoke coming out of the top of it.
Now, Carol is in there? Is that... And he says this to the group, like, sort of trying to figure that out.
That's what she said, I think.
And we...
And so is Shimone.
And we care about
because
that.
They're both in here.
Yes, and the Kyle? Dentist parents. Emily.
Yes,
I think
of
your
course.
Parents were like...
we
are
care
they still...
great.
Oh my god, my mom's in there!
Chaperoning this place, I thought.
I'm pretty sure she's still on her back in that tooth costume.
Yeah, your dad too, I think?
Oh yeah, my
Well,
dad.
We won't leave him in there, and he
they
starts floating
kind of
towards
mean
the doors.
To me. But no, yeah, no, we should go.
To
we
like...
should definitely go.
All right. We can at least help people escape if they're in the fire.
When you guys enter... this room, the gym itself is not on fire. It seems like another part is perhaps on fire. And as you're inside the gym, you still hear music playing, and it's playing at like that kind of real loud volume level you'd have at a school dance. And the place is nuts. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that's destroyed. There's tables, chairs flung around here and there. There's a lot of people who are like bloodied and unconscious. And you see Carol Hamilclar wrestling with what has to be at least like a dozen people. And she is often pretty brutally beating these people up. Like, I feel like she is,
nice.
You see her fighting some of these people off who seem to be kind of, relentlessly going after her, and somebody old Ronald, whose name I forget, who has multiple toes.
Gross.
Multiple toes, that's most of us. Old Jacob Ronald, that's his name. Old Jacob Ronald, who has we learned in the very first session too many toes. He leaps at Carol and tries to grab Carol by the throat, and Carol, I think, like, kicks in one of his legs, like, really brutally. Like, all of a sudden the violence level on this goes up pretty substantially, and she throws another person off of her, and she has that crazy mace that we had talked about. Carol, we decided, was played by Brie Larson. Earlier, we had said she was played by Hayden Panettiere. But now she's played by Brie Larson, that she has more of an action role.
They had to change the actor halfway through, and no one mentioned it.
There you go.
Yeah. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
No, and for the record, Hayden Panettiere is a very athletic girl, woman, person.
She earned her right.
Sure.
What's funny is if a show gets more and more popular and a higher budget, they just kick off their actors and replace them with more high profile actors to like level
that would
up
be
the
funny.
Character.
Honestly, fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate that idea. Don't do that.
But
so this is all the chaos that we see in the first like 5 seconds where we open the door. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I think she shakes some of these people off, and she has this mace, and the mace, which can kind of, you've seen it, Kyle and Celine, can kind of change its shape and size, and it turned like it had been like smaller as she's like fighting with some of these people, and as she throws enough of them off and she's gotten Jacob Ronald off of herself, she has this mace and she's just gonna absolutely bash this dude's brains in
without hesitation. As soon as Kyle sees this, he runs in to go do exactly what she's doing and just go start helping her beat the crap out of these people.
Okay. Well, I think that one of the big things is like, she's going to kill this guy.
I'll like, hold you him can down.
Feel that that's going to happen. Okay. Kyle joins in.
Yeah. I concern myself. Well, Everett concerns himself with the doors, and propping them open. So like at least the smoke or whatever in this party or people's
this,
body.
This
something.
Room,
he's...
this room is not on fire. The building you are in is on fire, but this part of it is not. And I think you realize like very quickly, wait, the area that's on fire is at the very top of the auditorium.
Yeah. If that's the case, he's still going to try to get to people to get them out of the way.
Sure.
For this Kyle bashing.
All right. Well, yeah, let's handle these things in a quick order. As Kyle runs in to get to these folks who seem to be mostly like focused on Carol, and so Kyle can pretty brutally, since Kyle is so strong, like beat up a bunch of these folks.
I did change my mind about what I want to do when I get there.
Sure.
I just remembered that in that graveyard scene after Kyle left, like he didn't tell anyone, but like he was actually secretly very disturbed by the fact that he'd killed a bunch of people. And so, like, if he sees Carol about to, like, hammer down on this dude's head, he's going to, like, run in there and, like, grab her arm and, like, stop her.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That seems like some kind of roll. I don't know where.
It's lash out physically, probably.
Is your goal to hurt her?
No, I just want her to stop her long enough to be like, hey, like, I'd recognize the bloodlust. You don't want to do that.
Okay, it seems like maybe then you're trying to shut her down.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know. If you have any kind of string on her, that might help the situation as well.
We both really liked Road Trip, and I think that's the extent of that, so no.
Okay.
Cold?
Yes. Got an 8. All right, on a 7 and 9, choose one from below, but you come across poorly, and they give you a condition in return.
I'll go ahead and just, I'll gain a string on them, which I can then immediately use to be like, don't do this thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll, like, grab her arm as it's on its way down to smash this dude's head, and he's like, whoa, Carol! Listen, I know that guy... That guy has way too many toes, and it's disgusting. He's a freak, and I hate him too. But if you kill him, you're going to hate you as well.
And I think she, like, kind of feels bad about it, and instead just, like, kicks him in the balls and knocks him over or something like that. Like,
nice. High five. And,
yeah, and when you go to do that, she says, like, I think she just... Oh, she... So you get a condition, right?
Yes.
She looks at you in a way where you can tell, like, oh, she just views you as some kind of monster.
Aww.
And so she looks at you with this like all right for now, but you're next, buddy.
Oh, after we shared road trip together.
I know. That's what bothers her the most. That's why she thinks you're the apostate is always worse than the heathen, Carl.
Oh.
That's the issue.
Okay. It hurts.
That's there you go. My opportunity to use the word apostate.
Yeah.
In the sentence. There you go. All right. But yeah, so she goes back to she's beating him off left and right. She's beating him off with both hands.
He's going to busy himself with helping her do that in a non-lethal way.
Okay. I think you guys can.
That's called skiing.
She can accomplish that. Yeah. She's yelling that aloud. Everett, meanwhile, as you're looking at these people, you're noticing that they're you're trying to open doors to be like, get out of here, guys, go. As like Pee Wee in that scene in the pet shop. Come on, guys, we got to get out of here. But you're doing that and they are not paying attention at all. And even some of the people who are pretty hurt on the ground are still crawling towards Carol as if they're like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, Carol.
Okay, and I have not seen any of that stuff dealing with Brynifer, so I don't know that there's a possible possession thing going on here. Or not possession, but rather influence, type of thing going on.
Celine probably maybe mentioned it. If not, I think Mikkel can say, these people all seem to be under the thrall of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once I make that connection, I start to get mad that no one is listening to me, and it's remind me of my darkest self, and I try to calm down. So instead, I just start shocking each one individually, trying to make them pass out.
Okay.
I assume that's a role of something, but I don't know what that role would be.
Could I ask a question real fast, Austin?
Go for it.
Actually, I guess two. Is do we see Brynifer and do we see Chimonier?
I mean, that would be long enough based off of us looking at people and trying to guide them out, essentially.
You do not see Brynifer.
Mm-hmm.
You do not see Brynifer. But this is, since we had that exchange with Carol, this is less exciting, but I will say you do see Chimonier, but she's still doing that, and I think Carol is about to just punch her right in the head.
Okay. Yeah. You can tell Celine is not happy about that, at least. Go for it.
Okay. So does that happen?
No, I think Everett was about to remember I was asking a question because I was interrupting Everett. So I think he was about to shock people, and if Everett is notices Celine at all, I think she's making a beeline over to Chimonier there.
Yeah, I'm shocking people individually. Once I start noticing that the doors are not a thing and people don't want to do that, I'm going to start going until they knock themselves out or get knocked out. That's my goal. If I notice that it's Chimonier, I'll be like, hey, this is Chimonier. Do you want me to shock her? Because I will.
So I think rather than have you make any kind of roll with that, I think Kyle and Carol kind of handled that element. If you go around
stuff,
you can,
of the fighting,
yeah, I think you guys, because mechanically Celine having Carol go do that kind of partially handled this situation through that.
So then people are getting knocked out left and right by me,
yeah,
until I get to Chimonier, I guess, because Carol's gonna punch her in the face if I don't stop it, right?
Yes, yeah,
so I'm holding Chimonier by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
About to shock her, and I say, Celine, what do you want me to do? Because I'll knock her out. I'll knock her out now.
No. Don't. We have
Celine,
to save her.
I got her by the throat.
Don't do that. We have
pull
to save
her out of here.
I think you should save her.
So, Eduardo,
and he's gonna
are you afraid that some harm will befall Shimonye before you can get to her?
Of course, because of the Celine connection. Yes.
Sounds
Celine
good.
Wants, you, she doesn't want this. I don't want roll, this.
Could you roll plus cold for me?
Oh, yeah.
To,
oh,
wait, to act on this one before minus. Carol gives her a good beat down.
Oh, no.
That's a seven.
All right. So on a 7 to 9, the MC will tell you how your actions would leave you vulnerable, and you can choose to back down or go through with it.
Awesome. All right. Tell me the things.
If you guys have any suggestions here, feel free to jump in. I will not be upset. So you're going to be able to get to her.
Yes.
You're going to be able to get to
now,
her.
Now, what I've tried to do, just to explain, what I've tried to do is, like, hold her. My fear is that Carol's going to see that I'm holding her and misinterpret that I'm trying to hold her to punch her. That's my fear. I'm trying to pull her away. But if, I mean, let's say she goes through. The other fear, I guess, would that she goes through me, that I lose because of the ghost thing. She just goes through me and starts running at Carol anyway. This is time sensitive. That's what his fear is. Everett's fear is that Shimonye is about to get clocked.
I think you're
As Everett holds this one, what does Shimonye look like again? Can you, Celine? What does Shimonye look like?
He has. Well, he David has described her as Raven Simone.
Oh yeah. I was like, I don't remember what she looked like. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I determined that earlier.
She's a little girl.
There's two black people.
She's hanging out with Cosby.
Stop.
So, I'm just going to go with this. You can do this, but I think in this process, Carol is going to realize, like, your entire deal. Like, she's going to clock
about me.
Like, yeah, like Everett's whole situation.
Well, I didn't see that. Eduardo saw that monster thing to Kyle. Poor Kyle. He just liked Road Trip. I am a little bit frustrated because Everett has been here at this school for almost 30 plus years and no one has ever been able to clock him. So he's getting kind of pissed that all these magical children keep clocking him. So I think what's going to happen is maybe he does go through her with his legs, but his arms don't, and he pulls her back. And Carol looks him straight in the eye and goes, God damn it. Here's another one I'm going to have to kill later. I think that's what ended up happening.
Okay.
Physically to Everett. Just so he can keep an arm on her and pull her out of Carol shifting weapon.
Sure.
Maybe it's a full slow motion.
Well, she's not going to try to kill her, but she was going to try to hurt her pretty bad. But Everett, as you do this, one of the things you realize is, like, this is requiring a lot of, like, energy. This is very exhausting doing this. Like, things that you had in the past you'd be able to do. It's like you're not fully here, and it's like you're feeling even less like you're here. Like, it's almost as if... Yeah, it's almost as if, like, you feel yourself kind of getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Like, you feel weaker now thinking about this even than you did when you were propping the doors open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But Shimonye is out of the way. At least, do we fall on the floor? Can I back her up a little bit?
Sure. You guys maybe can.
I mean, she's possessed, essentially, but...
Yeah, and she just says, like, you just hear her say, like, you have to stop, you must be stopped, you've defied the master, you've defied the pharaoh.
Okay, and he's very confused by this, So he yells out loud so everyone can hear, "What, Pharaoh? Pharaoh, where? What are you talking about? What are we doing?" And he's just yelling, falling on the floor like, "Ugh." That's it. That's all that happens to him. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I know what everyone else is thinking, but I think Celine is ready to go. Like, that was her thing, the last thing she needed, theoretically, in the school. And it, as long as I get the impression Everett has, like, still a firm hold, although he's feeling weak, right?
Yeah, he's feeling weaker and weaker, but there's other people here, including yourself, Celine, who could hold on to Shimonia.
Yeah, well, that's fine. If that's the case, she'll go over and help with that. And maybe when she's getting the other arm, I guess, of Shimonia, she says to Everett, like, "Let's get the fuck out of here." She's looking at the smoke and whatever.
Done. You don't even have to look. Everett was trying to get people out. If he gets one person out, he don't care.
And Celine, very selfish, but I think Emily's parents are still like on the ground somewhere too, right?
They're the other adults are they're tied to the bleachers, we had said. So the Westmores, DDSs, the Westmores are tied up to the bleachers along with Mr. Euripides and Chuck, who is Shimonier's mom, actually. Yeah, at some point they're like, "Get us out of here." They yell over to you guys like, "What the hell?" I think good old Pam Westmore is like, "Emily, are you okay? Emily, get us down from here."
Emily immediately is just like, "Oh my god, mom!" And she heads for the bleachers as fast as she can.
And Lilith is going to help.
Yay.
Yay. "Oh my god, Emily, it looks like all of these adults, including your parents, probably need to get out of here. I don't know, I've only been conscious and sentient again for like 5 minutes, so..."
No, you're definitely right. Yeah. Okay, we've got to get them out of here.
Gotta get them out of here. Okay, so translucent Lilith can like untie like two or three people without any difficulty, hopefully.
I think Mr. Euripides is like, thank you, Lilith. You're always such a good student."
Oh my god, does that mean I got an A? I can't wait to tell my frog parents.
Absolutely.
Ha ha, bonus. Oh, I think you call that extra credit.
Oh yeah, all the extra credit. Thank you for getting me out of here. Hold on, let me help Chuck. I'll help you out with this. And he's very clearly like trying to impress this woman who's next to him. And she's like, "Shimonia, what are you doing? What are you doing?" This woman starts yelling to Shimonia. Celine knows this is Shimonia's mom.
Oh,
maybe he doesn't.
Good.
Maybe she doesn't. I don't know.
Celine, do you like Shimonia's mom? Is she supportive of this, you know?
I think it's very clear. At some point she yells, "Young lady," and you're like, "Oh, that's mom talk."
I mean,
she uses her middle name.
She's a bigot. I can leave her here.
She just gets
everyone out
about
as,
this
we can,
arrow.
As many people as we can.
Cool. Just keep untying. Oh my gosh, human knots are so much easier than fey knots.
Yeah. So Carol, meanwhile, like I said, is still just kind of... Carol and Kyle together, I think, are able to pretty soon afterwards subdue most of this crowd. There are only about a dozen of those folks left. And it takes a little bit longer because, again, Carol had been fine with probably just killing some of these people till Kyle stopped her. And you have subdued... You have kicked all the ninjas till they fall over in the warehouse, if that makes sense, if that analogy jives. And you're able to untie these folks. Shimonia is the only one who's kind of still up and saying, and is she's muttering something that you're like, "That's not English."
And is this building still on fire?
So the fire alarm is still going off. And when you guys were going into the building, you could tell that probably like the top part or something was on fire in this building. But like there are no flames in this room. There is not smoke pouring in. I think only now that you're like, is this place, what's the deal? Like a little bit of smoke starts coming through the air vents.
So it probably is still on fire?
Yes, it definitely is. You're like, oh, it is. That'll tell me.
We should leave.
Does this motivate all the other people around us? Can they see the smoke too?
All of the folks who like you untied are like, yeah, we should get out of here. All the
see
other
everybody,
people.
Everybody, this is why smoking is bad. Out the building.
I think Emily's dad is like, and it's bad for your teeth. The tar acts as a sticky substance that encourages plaque buildup.
Okay, in Dad, we get it. Thank
sorry.
You.
Sorry, you know me, dear. When I get stressed out, I go straight back to the tooth. Ain't that the? And your mom slaps him before he can say, "Ain't that the tooth?"
Ain't that the bicuspid of it all?
Yeah.
Emily, oh. Your parents are really into teeth.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, aren't they dressed up as a toothbrush? Oh no,
yeah,
not that
bite. Emily's dad is a toothbrush, and her mom is a tooth, or the other way. I forget which one we had said.
Yeah, I think it's the other way, but still, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Emily, we gotta go. Are you okay, Kyle? Kyle, Kyle. He's like, we gotta go.
What about all these unconscious people on the floor?
Yeah, what are you guys doing about them?
I don't know. Do you want to carry them?
We have to grab these people.
Just some sort of like levitating spell to get all these bodies, I don't know, moving. And maybe Everett and I with our, you know, sort of translucent bodies can assist in that initiative.
Maybe.
No.
I don't mind rolling to figure that out.
I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I figure... I'm gonna round up all the parents and at least get them to start grabbing.
Yeah, right. I understand.
Okay. Yeah. So if you get kind of the adult, one of the things that you notice is like all the people who seem to be enthralled are your fellow.
Yeah,
students.
The parents. Yeah. If we use them. Yeah.
Yeah. But so if you have them do that, they can along with you help pretty quickly get.
And they are good. Unconscious. Except for Chunk. Shimonye, so
yeah, that would be. It takes a little bit, so it's going to take you guys like
at least until the professionals arrive, right?
How long to get there?
Does a fire alarm at a school take firemen to get to?
Should be here, and yet,
and like that's my question.
Nobody's shown up.
Ooh,
everything
suspicious.
Is one door away except for the fire department.
Yeah, the fire department is the only thing.
Just need to make a group announcement to all of the parents, saying, "Parents, your children are currently transfixed in a crazy, crazy trance that is luring them to sex, drugs, and alcohol. You must physically grab them out of the building as fast as you can."
Yeah, I think Chuck mm-hmm. turns to Chuck turns to Chuck, Shimonye's mom, tries to talk to Shimonye, and when she won't like respond, she looks to Celine, who's probably the person who seems most like. Near her, like concerned about her, and is like, "What's happening? What's going on?"
And she's just Shimonye.
Everett's
kind of mumbling,
gonna float away.
Sure.
Get out of that situation.
All right. So then, who is the one holding Shimonye? Is it Celine now?
Yeah, sure.
It's Celine, right?
She's just holding her by her shoulders.
Yeah,
yeah we were
she
working
said
together, but.
Yeah, she keeps like trying to like go towards Carol, and she's like muttering this stuff kind of under her breath that is very clearly not English.
Yeah, I think
I think Chuck says like what is that? That's what is that? Arabic? Some kind of German?
Celine kind of like looks into Shimonia's eyes and says like, "All right, where is she? Where's Brynifer? Tell me, babe, where is she? Is there any way I can like get through to her?" Oh, if I can snap her out of it, that'd be great. I didn't even think that was an option.
Yeah, go ahead and make it basically that. A turn someone on roll, but using dark instead. We'll do it like a slightly
a
twisted version of this.
Oh my god. Oh well, one of my conditions is that I'm twisted. Oh. Appropriate. So I got a 9.
A so 9. So on a 7 and 9, they can either give you a string or choose one of the reactions. I'll just give you the string. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well then I will try to tempt her to, I guess, do I think it's possible to get her out of, to wrestle her control back to herself?
I think you can get her to kind of snap out of it, at least temporarily, but you think it might be temporary. Where it's like, huh? Okay. Huh? Where? Oh my god, what happened? This... What the hell?
Okay, then I might try to tempt her to tell us where Brennifer is. And she says this by, you know, just... She's holding her shoulders, and maybe she, like, touches her cheek, and she's like, Shimonia, you're back. Brennifer, she has this control over you. It's messed up. Long story, but do you know, we're trying to find her, or I'm trying to find her, at least. We need... Also, my brother, there's so much stuff going on, but do you know where Brennifer is?
I didn't even think I was here anymore. I had a vision that there was sand and huge rocks all around. I could hear a river rushing by. I knew. No, I don't. I don't know. I don't know where Brennifer was. I mean, I remember we were at the dance, right?
Yeah, she has this magic talisman that's just taking control of people. We need to stop her, but I mean. Carol, at least. Maybe Kyle. But I don't know where she went. She was supposed to, last time I checked, she was in there. And then, oh my god, so many things happened between that.
Kyle will turn to Carol and say, well, between all the butt kickings, did you see where the boss went?
Carol will say, she ditched out that door when I was wrestling when I was wrestling half of the student body.
And Celine looks over her shoulder and she's like, we need that talisman from her if you don't want to make a career out of that.
I'll say you guys have finished rounding up the last of these people, pulling the last of these people out of this building. A lot of them are muttering. They're also muttering in that language that's definitely not English. You're not sure what it is. And I think Mikkel will like look around and he's like, he like names a particular scent. He's like, huh, dialect around 1500 BC, huh? Interesting. He'll like make a real nerd Giles comment kind of a thing.
Whoa, so like Spanish?
And he's like, un poquito.
Nice, I'm hungry too.
He rolls his eyes and says, all right, guys, well, before Kyle wants to get his fourth meal on, what are we, where are we looking? And that's when you hear, you're looking right here, D-bags.
Shark Fever is sweeping the nation every Wednesday night on WTAD with Fart or Shark.
Join America's new favorite host, Tip Roundbeef, and four flatulently focused contestants as they try to suss out mere toots from accidental poops.
Around one, the sound of thunder! Can our contestants tell fart from shark merely by the sound?
That's a fart, Tip.
Tip, that's gotta be a shark.
That was dry? You gotta be kidding me.
Round two, the nose knows. Enter the stink zone. Can our contestants sniff out clatter from splatter?
Oh my god, Tip, this is gonna make me sick. There's no way this wasn't a shark.
One whiff in there and I knew it was a fart.
I got into the stink zone and I realized... I wasn't ready for this.
Round three. The proof it looks like pudding. Are these marks legit or are contestants marks?
Looking at this brown mess, I have to say, that's a real shark.
I just can't tell.
Is that a peanut?
That's fake. Look at the texture.
The winner doesn't just go home with $5,000. They get the chance to take on Shartenstein in our champion's show and win the title of the Brown Sash.
Fart or Shart, only on WTAD.
You're looking right here, D-bags.
Where is it?
And in front of you is Brynifer. She has arrived, and a lot of other people are slowly arriving with her, including several firefighters.
Oh my god, she's possessed the firefighters!
I don't know this person, but I don't think I like her.
I think you do know Brynifer. Brynifer is the Lola Scumpy-esque character who's super rude.
I have been in a card. My memories are all jumbled.
That's
fine. We're just going to accept it as another Lilith. Like, no, you do. But yeah. Also, I'm getting a vibe. I don't think it's good. Guys, is she good?
Oh, wait, no? Are we outside?
Got it. Okay, cool.
Are you guys
outside the doors?
Yes, you guys are in a courtyard. Yes, you are outside. You guys are in a courtyard that nearby is the one building that has the library and the nurse's office, and then another area behind you that you're leaving is the gym and auditorium. And these buildings are connected by different hallways and that kind of stuff, but you happened to go outside to get here, and that's how you saw that fire. And you think you could just steal my kingdom? Ugh. You guys suck. I'm like a god now.
What's her last name?
We've established that her name is Brynifer Briffany.
Oh, Jesus.
Burfington.
Burfington, I guess is her.
Burfington should have been Barfington.
More like Barfington.
Yeah, so she just locks eyes with her, Celine does, and just says, Burfington. What's a good one-liner here?
You say that, Burfington, what's a good one-liner?
Sure. And then she's going to start chanting in tongues at her, cast a hex upon her.
While Celine is doing that, Everett is looking for an electrical output.
Yeah, is Brennifer's parents here?
Is there
one? No.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What was the answer to Everett's question?
You start looking around, but you feel yourself getting even weaker and weaker and weaker. Like, this process of, like, looking is difficult for you. Where, like, feel exhausted.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Celine and Brynifer lock eyes. And as you do that, you look into her eyes, and these are not the eyes of Brynifer Briffany Burfington. These are the eyes of Amenhotwat, the pharaoh.
History books don't tell you about a Amenhotwat.
No.
Too dangerous.
That's, yeah. And yeah, you hear her begin to say stuff. And Celine, I think you can understand it, but everybody else starts to hear like that same language that these people are muttering. And they don't, it's nonsense to you. But Celine, you can hear like, how dare you think you can challenge a god? I have seen time immemoria compared to you. My kingdom was old before Rome was born. You are nothing. Like a lot of like that kind of talk. Like, and you hear all this in your head, and it's fairly terrifying.
Am I able to hex her?
We can try to do that, yeah.
I think her idea is maybe in response to that, just like, you already picked the worst body ever, but I'm gonna make it even worse. She's gonna try and wither this vessel away. So I did get a 10.
All right.
And so yeah, do you want me to read the wither
hex
thing?
The hex loses all of their hair, or their teeth start falling out, or their period arrives unexpected and heavy, or their skin gets all sticky, yellow, and spotty, whatever the specifics, it's bad. Now, I will say, Brynifer was already the victim of an earlier wither hex of Celine's. So,
don't got a lot of hexes. I got to use what I got.
I know. What do you think this looks like?
Well, I'm hoping to just make this body make the whatever is in this talisman not want to use this body anymore, so we can hopefully get this talisman away.
Could you be like rapidly aging the body or something like that?
Oh yeah, that's cool. Like, yeah, mummifying it kind of. I don't know if that's within the power of Wither, but I would love that.
It could be something like that. Yeah, she turns all jaundiced, gets all gray, and becomes all sunken and sallow. And she's like, still the chanting is going on. And I think at some point, Shimonye says, like, Celine, what's happening? And I don't know if you are able to speak to her while you're doing this.
No, I have to be speaking in tongues.
Okay. Can you hear Shimonye at all?
Yes.
Okay. She's like, what's happening? Celine, what is going on?
And I think she kind of does like the, your parents in the car, like, put like seatbelts kind of thing. Like, get behind me. Like, I got this. And she's just taking like one step at a time, like very dramatically toward Brynifer as she's chanting.
Kyle will try to explain to her, like, as she's pushed away. It's like, you know how, like, in anime, there's, like, these magical girls who can do really cool stuff? Well, Celine's basically, like, Sailor Moon, and you're in the show, baby. Just sit back and watch her do her thing.
She's like, Celine's doing that?
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, you have to stop her. She's going to kill Brynifer. She's dying.
Sucks the big one. Ugh. Mm-hmm. And he, like, pops around and was like, wait a minute. Killing people is bad. Like, Celine, is that true? Are you really going to kill this person?
She's like, doo-bop-bop-dee-bop-bop.
He's like, all right, you keep doing your thing.
I believe Celine's exact quote is, I'm a scat man, and then says that.
I think she means yes, but in, like, witch language.
Kyle's going to try and, like, help the situation out by, like, trying to go grab the amulet before Brynifer gets killed.
Emily would like to help by grabbing a fire extinguisher off the wall so she can hit Brynifer over the head with it.
Nice. We're going for the tag team duo. My one arm and your fire extinguisher from each side.
Yes. I got your back, baby!
Nice. Like the anime streaks behind them, because now I feel like we're just in a Sailor Moon episode. Just like...
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna have this play out just as you guys are kind of describing it. We see Brynifer kind of getting like more sickly looking and weaker and kind of coughing. You see some of her teeth fall out, and you just hear this like kind of rushing wind sound, Celine. Like
you can't kill me. I've been here millennia.
There's like a pause, and you hear Celine like, "You should have this. Why did I choose this vessel? Surely my own divine providence that brought us here. You are the one deserving of this amulet. Take it. Take it from her. You've already bested her."
Yeah, so she's already walking toward her. So if that's the case, if Brynifer, who's ever controlling Brynifer's withering body, I'm sure the dentist parents are like, oh no, she must not have been brushing right. As the teeth fall out.
I was just about to say that, Emily. I understand the purpose of your parents' jobs now.
It's very important.
If there's an opportunity, she will snatch that talisman for sure.
Sure. I think this is between you and Kyle as to who's going to snatch this talisman.
I don't know. I feel like Kyle and I assume Emily kind of just want to support this while they don't want Brynifer to die. And if it seems like Celine's got it under control and has like got a plan to just take the thing, I wouldn't object to that.
Can I still hit somebody with my fire hydrant, though? My little fire extinguisher? Can I hit one of the guys standing next to Brynifer?
Oh, this fireman?
You can try to hit them in the mouth so your parents have, income. Like
building more business for the family.
I can actually use it and just spray all the people in the face.
I love the idea this is about to be resolved non-violently, but just like Emily's just like, God, it just brains one person with a fire extinguisher.
Listen, I just watched my boyfriend beat the crap out of like half a dozen people.
Oh,
like,
so
I'm feeling kind of amped right now.
To amend this, I think that how this had gone is that crew of people who showed up with Brynifer were kind of advancing towards all of you guys. And Carol and Kyle probably did have to work to like kind of hold them off for a second. But after this point, after the audience hears that Celine has been offered the amulet, that group of people stops and they back up and they're no longer, I think a lot of them are like coming to and are like, what, where the hell am I? What's happening?
And that's when Emily brains one of them with a fire extinguisher.
You're just hitting kind of a random character. Or are you trying to go after Brennifer because you're not a fan, reasonably?
I kind of like the idea that, like, this is all happening and I can't understand any of the words. So I'm just already, like, in mid-swing, like, ready to smack her in the head.
Yeah. You're going to... Everybody's just chanting, like saying these, like, weird things. And when one guy comes to, he's, like... He's just speaking Spanish or something, and he's like, "Ay, Dios mío," and you're like, "Ah, Egyptian, Pharaoh mummy," and you whack him.
Because Emily is racist.
There you go. And he's like, "I don't know. He was speaking in tongues."
And she goes, "What? I don't speak Egyptian."
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think he said pyramid at some point.
In English.
Yeah. Pyramid.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Ah. Exactly. He's talking about, he's like, Herbalife.
Or financial decision.
But yeah. So then in that case, Emily bashes a kind of random person. Lilith, what are you doing while you're watching this?
Lilith has legitimately no idea what is going on and is waiting for somebody to tell her what to do. And also she's just, I untied some teachers, so I'm good with that. I've understood that there is a bad person inside of Brennifer, but I think she's cool now. So now, that's where Lilith is at.
Gotcha.
That, okay. And I'm looking for my frog, soon-to-be ex-boyfriend that I can pummel.
I think that when Celine, you're heading, you're right there. You're right at her.
Okay. What can I do?
If Brennifer doesn't guard herself, I think she's gonna snatch this talisman off her neck, like, dramatically.
We see.
I think I need that. I mean, these are, you know, jewelry I'm always okay with, but also pretty sure I understand how magic works way better than you do, so I'm gonna try and take it.
So Lilith is gonna try to take it before Celine can grab it?
Yep. Celine's holding her down and holding her, like, at bay. Let me assist with, you know, the official jewelry snatch.
Gotcha. All right, let's have you do a keep your cool to see if you can get to this thing before it falls into the wrong hands.
Got it.
That seems like something you might be worried about.
Okay.
So 2d6 plus whatever your cold stat is.
Oh, and we keep forgetting this, but you're supposed to say what you're afraid of before you.
That's what I've been trying to pitch out. Like, it seems like you're afraid of this happening.
I am afraid of the amulet breaking when I try to grab it. There you go. Does that work? Yes, no, maybe so.
Maybe. We'll go with that. Something bad happens with the amulet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I... Where'd it go? I rolled a 7.
Rolled a 7. All right. So on a 7 and 9, the MC will tell you how your actions would leave you vulnerable, and you can choose to back down or go through with it. You can tell just as you get close to this thing is super old and super magical and is ridiculously dangerous. And anybody putting this on is probably not a great plan. And you remember Brennifer. Some comes back to you about Brennifer, and you're like, that was probably the best person, the best scenario of who could have gotten it because of how ridiculous she was. Like other people, it would have been a lot more dangerous.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, I think you can grab this thing before Celine does.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize,
no one,
you're
going to
realize
that.
Like, it's one of those, like, hey, all right, Frodo, you're holding on to the ring kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very, very powerful thing that falling into the wrong hands is real bad news.
Sure. So Lilith is going to full Samwise Gamgee this and, like, grab it, but decide not to wear it and shame everybody else in wondering where the hell more potatoes are. So
she grabs this thing, snatches it off of Brennifer's neck. And Brennifer, like, we see her body almost seems to, like, be smoking. And you hear just, like, what the hell? My hands look wrinkly like balls. And then she flumps over.
And Emily brains her with the extinguisher.
And Emily smashes her brains in.
Yeah, just bloody bits everywhere.
Bye-bye, Brennifer.
Does Emily do that?
Yes, she's in a berserker rage.
Okay. I think before you do that, you could still decide to do it, but Shimonier has like run over to Brennifer and is like, "Oh my god, Brennifer, what happened? What the hell happened?"
And then I accidentally brain Shimonier.
Yeah, you hit Shimonier right in the head. Crush your skull. Yeah, Celine, you see your friend, who you used to argue with about a boyfriend, kill your girlfriend.
The Young and the Monstrous,
a Monster Hearts actual play podcast from This American Dice. The Young and the Monstrous is Carl as Kyle the Ghoul, David as Celine the Witch, Eduardo as Everett the Ghost, Lauren as Lilith the Fae, Kate as Emily the Mortal, and Austin is your Game Master. Cover art is by Blair. Monster Hearts is a game by Avery Adler. The Young and the Monstrous airs here on This American Dice every Thursday, so don't forget to check us out each week. Rate, review, like, subscribe, check out our Facebook group, The Whole Nine Yards, and let us know what you think. Every 5-star review on iTunes we'll read on the air. Our intro and outro music, of course, is Deep State by Vans in Japan. Additional music for this episode included Deep State by Vans in Japan, Incursion by Per Kittelstorft, Tripolar by Jeremy Corpus, Nomads by the Mini Vandals, as well as Tend to It by Osiris Saline. And additional voices for this episode included Blair and Alex.
Now go, Lumberjacks!